Weber. It's well, we'll take a brief at ease here. I'm sorry. Come back to order. It's 10:19 a.m. on the 15th day of April. I think it's day 90. I can't recall. We have four bills that are available for considerations, previously heard and scheduled. Senate Bill 53, Commission on the Status of Women, Senate Bill 119, Senate Bill 136, Income Tax Credit for Employing a Veteran, and Senate Bill 25, ADA, Sustainable Energy Interest Rate. We're going to take Senate Bill 53 first. We're going to go through some procedural stuff here while you're in place. Madam Vice Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I move the CS for Senate Bill number 53, Finance 27-LS0107-M before the committee.
Yes, are there any objections? We've adopted the CS work of the other body. Welcome, Ms. Hodge-Graham.
Great. Thank you, members of the committee. Good morning. My name is Celeste Hodge. I'm staff to Senator Betty Davis. The bill before you, Senate Bill 53, reestablishes the Alaska Commission on the Status of Women, a nine-member body devoted to improving the status of women in Alaska. The Alaska Commission on the Status of Women was established in 1978, renewed and renamed to the Alaska Women's Commission in 1983. In 1993, the Alaska Women's Commission and the Alaska Commission on Children and Youth were absorbed into the Alaska Human Relations Commission, which continues to exist in statute but was never funded and declared inactive in 1996. Staggering statistics for women in Alaska show the need to reestablish the Alaska Women's Commission to focus on broad, diverse, cross-section issues affecting women. Alaska faces disproportionately high levels of poverty among women of all ages. Poverty rates for unmarried female householders with children are particularly high and have consistently been two or three times as high as overall male and female poverty rates since 1996. Survey data compiled by the American Community Survey shows that of 26,518 families in Alaska with a female head of household, 22.6% live below the poverty level. The gender wage gap persists in Alaska and across a wide spectrum of occupations and industries. In 2009, according to the Alaska Department of Labor, Alaskan women on average earned only 66.6% of what men earned. And although more women than men in Alaska hold a bachelor's degree or higher, data shows that men's median annual earnings are higher in every educational level. Alaskan women, in particular women of color, experience health care disparities, and women living in rural Alaska have worse than average disparities on access and utilization of services. Alaska continues to have the highest rates of sexual assault and domestic violence in the nation. Members of this committee, it's so unfortunate. Alaska has maintained these startling statistics for decades. It's past time for Alaska to reestablish the Alaska Women's Commission, an official state entity to begin focusing on improving the status of women and children in Alaska. Continued long-term improvement in the status of women in Alaska is not only of personal benefit to the health and well-being of individual women and children, but contributes to the general health and stability of our economy as well. That's my introduction of the bill. I'd be happy to answer any questions, and I thank you so much for hearing this bill today.
We had hoped to be here last night, but it was hard to find a quorum after we were done with all our conference work. Imagine these guys don't want to work much past 10 or 11. But we'll go right into the public testimony first, just to make sure we get to it all. I would first invite Arla Sturgiluski. I'm sorry I missed you when you were in town last time. Are you there, Senator?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you for scheduling this. I can well remember the end day sorry to see after I left that it went away. But I do support strongly Senate Bill 53. I like the way it's structured in that it will call for hearing in rural as well as urban, the more urbanized areas of states. I won't go into detail. I think you've had a good presentation, but it will allow for a forum to express issues of concern, and there are many. And I do, again, thank you for bringing this bill up for consideration.
Any questions or greetings for Senator Sirdalski? Representative Dugan.
Harless, Mike Dugan, good to hear your voice. And good to see you still in pitching for the same thing. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much, Harless. I usually am pretty formal here, but I'm going to call you Harless. Huh?
Oh, please do. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. From California, we have Cecilia Zamora. Give us your brief testimony, if you wish.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I hope you can hear me. My name is Cecilia Zamora. I am the president of the National Association of Commissions for Women, and it is a membership association that supports state, city, and county commissions all over the country. We are very pleased to be in support of the reestablishment of the commission in Alaska. I think this is important legislation that will definitely help the women and girls, particularly in your large state where you have to, you know, as the previous Arliss, if I might start with Arliss, just said, you know, the rural and urban areas all have different issues, and so it's great to have one commission that can address those issues. I know from experience in California, we have many local commissions, but we also have a state commission that is facing the issue of budget. And all I can say is that the state commissions play such a critical, vital role for the governor and for the legislature in advising on important issues. And the dollar amount spent on such a commission is really money well spent, you know, at pennies for, you know, per person. And so I would definitely give you the assurance that your commission, once reinstated, will be such a help to the state of Alaska.
Any questions for Ms. Zamora? Thank you very much. Next up, we have Mark Davis ready to testify. No, I'm just kidding. You're right. You wish to testify or something? Yeah. No, no, he wasn't quite awake.
That was a test.
Next, we have from Anchorage. They say they're just for questions. I just want to make sure that they didn't want to testify. Olson Oski, Oski. Assume that's two different names.
Still there.
We'll see if they come back. We'll wait a minute. Well, we just start talking about the fiscal. I'll go ahead and close the public testimony. If anybody else pops up, that person shows up, we'll reopen it. Fiscal notes. That's probably the one of the major components of our interest here, given its finance.
Mr. Chairman, the packet includes one fiscal note. If the committee could pull that out, it affects the Office of the Governor. The allocation is to the Women's Commission. It is dated 1/4/2012. It adds three to full-time employees. In FY13, this fiscal note proposes $515,400. FY14, $472,000. FY15, $481,300, FY16, $490,900, FY17, $500,800, FY18, $508,500.
Question.
Representative Thomas, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you. I couldn't help but notice in the backup for the public members, they identify the geographic representation, but the bill doesn't. So I'm hoping.
I believe that's they're using random locations to determine fiscal notes. I believe that's the correct answer.
Okay, so I just want to make sure because, you know, southeast or whatever, but I wonder, do we really need three people to handle four meetings a year, or maybe an occasional one or two? Seems like it's a little heavy. You know, I don't know if the good senator is still on here with us, but did they always have three staff like this?
Through the chair, there has originally when they started out, they had the three staff. They were able to accomplish a lot of work. I mean, the research shows many things that they accomplished other than organizing those meetings. They did show that, I believe it was in the latter years, they went to a volunteer organization, commission, and there was literally nothing. I mean, it went from pages of services that they provided to a paragraph at the, because they're required to give an annual report. And the annual report at the very end, when they were utilizing volunteers, they weren't able to accomplish anything. So.
But Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm just grumpy because the range 24 is pretty high. You know, for any leader, it's 24, 18, and the 15. But I think it's four meetings a year plus a few occasional is pretty stiff.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could you tell me on, we've got a lot of boards and commissions throughout Alaska. What is the average number of staff members for one that has seven members to it?
I'm not exactly sure, through the chair, what the average number is on various boards and commissions. I think this, the number of nine, I think is the total number on this, seven members and two appointed at the administrative level. I'm not sure.
I think Mr. Davis wanted to testify what his range is, so we could use that as a comparative rate. So that's what he was jumping up to. Out of the room. Mr. Bell, did you want to come forward?
Just in time.
Was he scheduled to testify this way? I wasn't trying to be trite here. I just, when you said that, I thought maybe he was connected to this.
Sorry for the delay, Mr. Chairman. I rushed over and my. Just for the record, Guy Bell, Administrative Director for the Office of the Governor. And I'm available to answer questions you may have on the fiscal note.
I believe you were pursuing that line of question, Mr. Fletcher.
Along with the rep from Fairbanks.
From North Pole.
Now Fairbanks. Excuse me. Yeah, we thought that it was pretty staff-heavy in ranges and three commissioners. Commission staff, is that typical, a guy of a commission? Every commission we have over at the SOB have three employees?
Through the chair, through co-chair Thomas. We modeled this fiscal note after the commission as it existed in approximately fiscal year 1991. They had as many as four or five staff at that time, similar ranges. So we just effectively took what was in place at the time this organization was last around and copied that into this fiscal note when we developed it.
Okay, it does make us right, but okay.
Mm-hmm. Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, on that same point on the fiscal note, when I look at page 3 on the top paragraph there, it says, what are the duties of the commission? Mm-hmm. And the duties of the commission is to improve the status quo by conducting research. So the commission members are supposed to be doing, to me, this says some of the research, some of the work. If we have one staffer to help coordinate that, that seems like that would be sufficient to me. Instead of having three staff members that do all the work and just bring it to the commission for discussion or what. You know, I mean, I know when I'm on commissions, I try and volunteer and do work and research myself and do that kind of information myself, but I think that one person would be plenty on this, myself, thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know if Mr. Gallagher had any comment on that.
I'd like to ask Representative Jewell a question. We just, do you remember, I think it's a 19 or 20 for the ARIC Policy Commission. How many folks are on that?
The fiscal note in the Senate Finance Committee just got changed to be a range 19. It went over as a range 24, and but that was kind of like using our existing staff for, I believe, that commission. They had, may have added a couple of members, so we're talking 18. It was 17 when it left. It was 17 when it left here. I think it gained some weight in terms of members, and there was one staff aligned with that. And while I can, Mr. Chairman, on the Northern Waters Task Force, you know, on the research piece that Representative Newman is talking about, we did have one staff person, not to the commission, but one of my staff who did that. And that staff person was kept busy the whole time. The members do engage a lot of times, mostly at the meetings, when that information is brought together for them. And, of course, we review that before we get to the meetings. But right now it's currently at range 19 for whatever members that's going to be. Somebody just handed me more current information. I believe it's 19 members, and I believe it's range 19, Mr. Chairman.
I didn't know the answer to that when I asked it. I just remember we spent some time with that. I'm not trying to say what did the Senate do to us, and how do we, that's not the purpose of that, but it is illustrative. I just remember that one, having dealt with that in this committee.
Yeah, and I've been kind of tracking it, and I think it just happened yesterday in the Senate Finance Committee.
No, that's, again, I'm not trying to say just because it's probably it. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's a good point. I can't vote for this with three members. I've heard from a lot of my constituents, and not that they don't like the commission, but $500,000, and when we keep preaching that about the oil and going down to put another $500,000, I would love to see, and it's what everybody wants to do, is to go down to one as a range 19. If that doesn't work, they can always come back and say why it didn't or didn't. It's going to take a while to get it up and running, but if it stays the way it is, I just can't support three people.
Yeah, I'm going to mix on this. I'm probably a do not pass, but I've given some gentle assurances about moving this bill out in reasonable shape. But we do have responsibilities as a finance committee. I will certainly be responsive to requests from this committee, but I have the luxury of knowing I can vote against it. I mean, and reflect my will. But these are good questions and points being raised. I just,
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Benjamin,
I'm concerned about the fiscal note as well, because to me, to approve this fiscal note that's presented to the committee would be a real departure from everything we've espoused throughout this whole year. You know, the mantra that the co-chairman from Haynes is open up every meeting with in terms of declining oil production. And as I look at on page 3 at the top of on section 44, it appears to me, at least at the outset, that whatever research is being done is with, you know, could be the secondary research as opposed to primary research, and that maybe this grows into where you have a number of staff. But to adopt the fiscal note right now would be, let's see, $3 million to FY18. And we didn't come close to that with Alaska Native Language Commissions, with all the other bills that we've passed out of here. So I can't support this fiscal note as it's presented now. I think I can support the bill for sure, but not the hefty price tag that's attached to it.
We take a brief at ease so we can, this is probably a little bit brief at ease.
Representative Dugan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we reduce the fiscal note.
Thank you. In the following way, that we take what is now a range 24, a range 18, and a range 15, and reduce it to two people, one at a range 20 and the other at a range 17.
And that would be the two positions, the executive director and the and then the support staff.
Right. Sorry. Yes.
Is there any objection?
Mr. Chair, just a comment?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair, when I hear that we have staff to, I think, the Arctic Council, which I think is a big council with a lot of work to do, with 17 or 19 members now, with one member at a range 19 to be able to work that. I see we have, this is four meetings with seven members, and to have two state employees for a seven-member commission working full-time just doesn't make sense to me. Just trying to be a little more fiscally responsible here. I would suggest one at a 20. You know, I think that's working 40 hours a week. That's a lot of work can get done quarterly, you know, to provide the assistance for seven members. And I would, my opinion, I think, is one member at a 20 would be sufficient.
Mr. Chairman,
can I? Representative Edgman.
Just a question maybe to the bill sponsor staff. Is this office going to be located in the governor's office? Is that correct?
Through the chair. That's the what's outlined in the bill, yes.
So through the chair, when the calls come in, they go to the governor's central desk, and then they go to the governor. How does?
I don't believe that's going to be the case.
Okay.
But I'm with my discomfort with the bill, I'm more comfortable with the fiscal note. I'm sympathetic to Representative Newman's, but I see a consensus in the committee for the two. We don't necessarily have roll call votes on that. I would note that Representative Newman has a expression for a small. You can make a separate motion if you would like, and separate. We'll deal with that. Is there any objection to the two, and then we'll go back? Is there any objection to the change as moved as Representative Dugan? Representative Newman.
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to make a motion to move this center to one member to 20, again, based on other commissions that are out there. And in the amount of meetings that are going to be here, the bill itself explaining that the commission members' jobs are to help gather information. One person did that. And then I look at, you know, even what staff do, our own staff, you know, and the amount of people that we deal with. I know I have 30,000 constituents in my district right now, two people deal with that most of the year. And a tremendous amount of phone calls and information and gathering that they have to go in a lot of different areas. I think one person at a range 20 is more efficient. I would just as soon see the fiscal note reflect that. So I guess I would make a motion to amend that to one program manager, combine the titles, I guess, to assistant to one at a range 20.
Representative Kirkliff.
Mr. Co-Chairman, first I'd like to declare a conflict of interest. Women's Commission may benefit me personally, but I would like to vote on the issue. And
are they more specific than gender?
No, because a Women's Commission is fairly gender specific is why I raised the potential conflict.
You must remain a woman.
That's a different bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The reason I am trying to bring a little bit of humor into it is that there are women and children that are disadvantaged throughout our state. And I've been a strong supporter for equity, for respect, and for the children of Alaska who have been harmed. This bill provides an opportunity for various groups to come together and try to address some of the disparaging things that happen in our state, whether it's suicide prevention that may disproportionately be representative of a particular sex in this case, on suicide, there's a fairly even split between boys and girls. But there's wage disparities in the state, and this is an opportunity to openly have that conversation. And while I do understand and know that we've had past fiscal notes that only have one person at a wage 20 coming through, there's a lot of work for this commission to catch up. And if we don't need that person in the future, if we don't see something of value, we always have an opportunity to go back and reduce it. The sponsors come and ask us for three people, and I have expressed to people who have written in to me that I understood that the fiscal note is a point of contention, and when the sponsor and I spoke, she said that she certainly would rather have the commission stood up and have an opportunity to have the discussion than having the fiscal note take it down. So the sponsor still would like to see three, but knowing that the finance committee is having trouble with that, I would just ask for consideration that we keep it at two and come back and review it next year or after the first annual report to make sure that there's value for all people in Alaska, but specifically to try to create some equity in the conversation about how women, more specifically, are on the victim side of perpetration in our state. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Guerra.
Thank you. Just a question for Mr. Bell.
Mr. Bell.
Mr. Bell, if we leave it at two, would you be able to stay in contact with the commission? And if it turns out maybe the support staff only has to be there part-time, to come back to us with a recommendation that the manager believes that that should be a full-time position or a part-time position, and if it needs to be a full-time position, we'll consider that. If you come back and say there's not enough work and it should be a part-time position, we could look at that next year, but my recommendation would be to leave it at two for now and then have you come back to us and tell us. Would you be able to do that?
Through the chair to Representative Guerra, I think the short answer is yes. We will do our best to. Basically, the idea is that this would be an independent organization with administratively within the Office of the Governor, as I understand it. And we would see how it evolves and then come back through the governor to the legislature with any suggestions for funding going forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Newman, you had to reflect you have a desire to reduce this. Representative Dugan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Although I made that motion quickly, I didn't make it lightly. And I can easily see where we're going to need these people to do this job. And I would simply point out to the members that we have two people working for us or more during the session. We don't have any problems employing them all year round. And so, you know, although we can sit here and talk about taking things out of the budget, and I do it all the time, but I don't believe that we should be arbitrarily changing the entire arrangement that's being made here in the absence of any compelling information. All the information we have is that up to a certain point, the people had no problems at all employing, keeping those people working. And that's what we're trying to do here, is to have people in the state's employ who concentrate on these issues. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'm very sympathetic, Representative Newman. I think it's the will of the co-chairs to stop at the council meeting. Is that a Representative Newman?
Sure. I understand the discussion going on. And, you know, my concern is in the future when we're going to have to start reducing government. And I understand that it's easier to put a public employees in there than it is to take them out. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen us reduce the size of government or get rid of public employees, state employees. I don't think I've ever seen that. And I get the fact what women go through. I talk to my daughter on a regular basis, who's 21 years old and a truck driver, and how she has to try and prove herself with her peers to do a job that she loves to do, and she strives to be the best truck driver in the state. I get it. You know, I understand what the members around the committee want. I'll withdraw my motion, Mr. Chair.
It is noted, though, Representative Newman, and I understand, and I think that all the members do. Representative Thomas and Jewell.
Thank you, Co-Chair. I just want to notice that we did cut 20 points off, and I think that's a significant savings on the salary, so almost 30%. Yeah.
Jewell.
Thank you to the bill, Mr. Chairman. You know, I got married 39 years ago, and our wedding night, it's going to sound a little crazy, but I took a piece of my apparel and I threw them to my wife, and I said, "Here, put them on." She said, "They don't fit," and I said, "You remember that?" And she took a piece of her apparel off and threw it to me and said the same thing. And I realized, oh, my gosh, what have I got myself into? and so the journey has been an interesting one over 39 years. And I'm glad to see this come up because, at least as a person, as a male individual, I've had the luxury, I guess, of having one of the quietest and strongest women that I know as a partner.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, can I just insert a quick question?
Yes.
The two ranges are 20 and 17. Just to Mr. Bell, would 22 and 15 be better served in terms of getting an executive director and an admin service? Because sometimes being able to track that, you know, 22 is like an admin services director. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Edgman, admin services director would be arranged 27.
Okay.
Let's not go that route.
I mean, if you're looking at it through the chair, if you're looking at attracting what I think this commission deserves to have as an executive director, maybe 22 would be better than 20.
We can. If there's some prestige to this position too, being the firm, but I don't know. We could keep debating this, but I want to move it. But, Representative Guerra.
Mr. Chair, I hope you would entertain a motion for Representative Edgman to do that. The director is supposed to is somebody who is a very high level person. The support staff is a person who is going to assist with the meetings, and I think a 22 and 15 at the same cost would better serve the commission than a 20 and a 17.
Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My perception of what would be happening here would not be having staff just making hotel reservations and airline reservations. This is not a logistics position. If you look at, well, we don't know who the members on this commission is going to be, but I can tell you they're going to be dynamic people. And they will be talking amongst themselves and giving the staff direction.
I didn't see dynamic in the job description. We can put that in there.
We had Arliss on the line. You could consider her potentially being somebody like that on this commission. This is going to be...
What's the Representative Edgman? Did you want to make a motion? It's the same net money. I don't have any... Yeah, I'm just trying to facilitate the process here.
Unless I see any heads nodding to the contrary, I will make the motion to change the fiscal note to two positions, one at a range 15, one at a range 22.
And the executive director would be the 22, right?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any objection to that? Okay. You have new marching orders, Mr. Bell.
Yeah.
I do. I think we've pretty well discussed the bill. Representative, are there any amendments? Our amendments have been to the fiscal, though. That's been a pretty... Representative Fairclough.
Mr. Chairman, I move from committee to CS for Senate Bill 53 Finance, 27-LS0107/M, with amended fiscal notes and individual fiscal note and individual committee recommendations.
It wasn't our intent to drag this on so long so you could be here, Representative. Would you like to make any comments?
We will adopt, we'll go ahead and adopt the bill out of committee. Yeah. Please.
I just wanted to say thank you for taking the consideration to air this bill out, and I appreciate some of the comments that were made. And I know there's a lot of possibilities for some work to be done voluntarily, and there are other grants that we might be able to get. So if we could just move this along, I guarantee you, in the long run, we're going to save money. And you'll be very proud of the fact that we have created, once again, a statewide commission for women. And I thank you for your support. And I do have to get back to the floor. I didn't even say who I am, but I'm Senator Bethany Davis, representing District K.
Yeah, get back to the floor. I might need your vote.
We'll take a brief at ease. Let's come back to order. We have before us Senate Bill 25. Welcome, Mr. Pulaski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Michael Pulaski, aide to Senator Lisa McGuire. And rather than calling and soliciting testimony on behalf of the bill, I point to the fact that there are a significant stack of letters of support for the bill in members' packets to review so as to not take committee time. But there is significant support out there for the bill. The bill, Mr. Chairman, comes to you as a piece of the legislature's ongoing work surrounding energy infrastructure. And when the sponsor in 2010 started working jointly with this body to look at the challenges facing the state on energy infrastructure issues, a major gap was identified in the need for financing and access to capital. The legislature's done an excellent job of developing grant programs, of developing support for energy infrastructure, but no real mechanism existed to move from that grant stage to provide capital for projects to move forward truly based on their own. So, Mr. Sherman, if it would be appropriate, rather than go through the PowerPoint or anything, I would just walk through the bill for members relatively expeditiously. So I'm working off the Y version and starting on page 1, section 1. What the bill does here is add in the short title, the Alaska Sustainable Strategy for Energy Transmission and Supply, Section 2 beginning on page 1, line 9, all the way through page 3, line 17, is conforming language, and what that does is adds the word energy into the findings and the findings section that establishes ADA within our public laws. Section 3 is page 3, line 18 through 26, does the same thing for power, for the duties section of ADA. Section 4 is an important part of the bill. The core of the bill establishes a separate fund within the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, empowers that fund to go out and finance with the private sector energy infrastructure projects. In developing that concept, it was the intent of the sponsor not to displace the efforts of the private sector. So in Section 4 here, what you see is amendments to ADA's existing loan participation program, adding qualified energy developments into that so that if the commercial lending institutions wish to work with and finance energy projects, ADA, under their existing program, can come in and work with the banks to provide the credit backstops, just as they do now for real estate and for hotels, things like that. Section 6, Mr. Chairman, let's go to page 5, line 20, all the way through page 7, line 19. ADA is not allowed to give away money. The point of the bill is not to provide free, that we have grant programs to do that, but rather ADA has to earn a rate of interest that exceeds the cost of its funds in making the loans and financing. What you see in all of these sections is references to the new fund that's created at the to require the same sort of interest rate that ADA has to get now, and that has to exceed their minimum cost of funds. Getting down to section 11 on page 7, line 20, ADA, as I just said, has to collect an interest rate. However, under certain circumstances, ADA is allowed to provide an incentive interest rebate of up to 1%. Page 7, line 24 allows that for renewable energy in addition to rural and economic development. Section 12, page 8, is what creates the fund separately within ADA. The reason we had to create it separately was to protect ADA's existing credit rating on its existing programs. The powers, we expand the powers of ADA on page 9, line 7, distinctly for this fund, in two material ways. Page 9, lines 17 through 18, the ability to defer principal payments or capitalize interest on qualified energy developments. The point of that being that by deferring principal payments during the construction period, you can drive the economics down for a project and support it for members. We also give the ADA the authority to guarantee loans, bonds, and that's on page 9, line 10 through 13. But substantively, page 10, line 18, to extend out for hydroelectric development to 50 years, because as many members know, hydroelectrics are long-term projects. So rather than transmission alone, which ADA used to be able to do for 50 years, now hydroelectric comes with it. In expanding the powers of ADA to issue and to finance energy projects, the sponsor felt it was important to add an additional limitation in there. And you find that on page 10, line 9 through 12. And the limitation added to the bill is that ADA is not allowed to finance more than one-third of the capital cost of a project without coming back to the legislature for approval. And the message to ADA and the importance of that policy call is that the fund is truly intended to be co-invested capital along with the project. The goal is not to have ADA go whole into projects, and that's the legislative approval section come back, but it's really to leverage the investment that our utilities, mineral development companies, and developers are making around the state. The fund is limited to qualified energy developments, which are defined on page 10, line 23. You will see broadly transmission, generation, conservation, storage, or distribution of heat or electricity. The same thing for natural gas, except the big pipelines between Cook Inlet and the distribution or storage of refined petroleum products, which is important because you think of the extent of tank farms around the state, and those need to be able to finance. Mr. Chairman, that is a quick synopsis of the bill. We've worked on it for about 2 years, and the sponsor sees it as a final piece to the energy work that in filling an important gap in the energy work that both bodies have done over the last 7 years. I'm happy to take any questions.
Second. Make sure you don't have any. So number one priority. Representative Newman.
Mr. Chair. Mr. Bosco, when I'm looking at page 8, and it talks eight.
If you can wait for a minute, Mark, we'll go ahead and adopt the version.
Sure.
Representative Fairclough.
Mr. Chairman, I move the House CS for the CS for the SS for Senate Bill Number 25, Labor and Commerce 27-LSO290/Y.
Seeing no objections, Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Page 7. Line 23, where it talks about the authority made in regulations adopt authority, but it talks about rural development. Again, we get into what's rural development. I have many areas in my district that don't have electricity, that transmission lines. What's rural development?
Representative Newman, through the chair, if I might, that's existing language that ADA has existing regs for, so I would ask that Mark Davis answer that question.
Representative to the chair, and for the record, my name is Mark Davis. I'm the deputy director of ADA. ADA is in the process of adopting regulations underneath the provision we already have for rural, but we intend to adopt a fairly broad definition that would encompass communities that are small. The current thinking is that the distinction made between roadless and road is not effective from economic terms. What we're looking at, so we looked at economic data on how each community is doing, the amount of capital in each community, and census data on poverty levels.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
And Mr. Davis, you know, and again, in my district, there's only one community, Houston, has 1,500 people. You know, the rest of it, there's areas that are three blocks away from my house that don't have electricity, you know, that people have been trying to get transmission lines. So this would allow MEA, Madawaska Electric Association, to join with ADA to get loans, to get electricity, and expand their current system. I mean, rural is not just off-the-road system. Sometimes it's described as that.
Representative to the Chair, I'm sympathetic to that. As you know, I own a house that has that issue in your district.
It's on him.
And I think this bill would allow for MEA to work with us to do interties or other type of infrastructure needed to expand the grid.
Sorry.
Mr. Chairman, yesterday we passed, I think it was Senate Bill 66 regarding new tax credits. Would these two vehicles, the two legislative vehicles, is it possible for an applicant to utilize both of the programs established for both these bills?
President Evans, it's an excellent question. It shows your financial acumen. In fact, they do dovetail exactly.
Okay. Representative Kelly.
Nope. Ready to move it out?
Okay. Is there any testimony from online? Anybody in the public testimony? Any in the audience? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. In committee?
Just have one question. Would the LNG plant on the North Shore qualify underneath this, possibly?
Jeez, how much LNG?
Just trying to find it, sir.
If you put it all together, you're going to have enough to run the state out of this.
As a long shot.
Anyway, no,
if I might, Representative Wilson, you see the change that was made in the Labor and Commerce Committee to page 10, line 27 through 29, specifically excludes a gas pipeline project for transporting natural gas from the North Slope or Cook Inlet to market. However, liquefaction, regasification, distribution, all is included. So it's not just the liquefaction plant on the North Slope, but it would also be the regasification facilities necessary, even the infrastructure to move the gas around. So it was specifically designed to be able to work with that project.
Thank you.
Representative Dugan.
I'm sorry, I was just trying to figure out how to formulate this question. ADIS had a history of some programs going gunny sack.
It's been a while.
And, I'm just saying. So how can I be reassured that the policies of the agency have been changed enough to guarantee that's not going to happen here?
Representative Dugan, through the chair, ADA has issued a strategic plan in 2008, which we're following. We have changed underwriting standards. This bill is consistent with that because it allows us to only invest up to one-third without legislative approval. That's actually been a board policy that we're looking to put no more than one-third into each project. Two reasons. First, to reduce risk. Secondly, because you have partners who also do their due diligence and decide that it's a good project. So I think, and then, you know, on the debt service ratio, we probably aim for 1.34 on a revolving fund like this and establish that by regulation.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair.
I could direct the committee's attention to the fiscal notes. There are two. The first one is fund capitalization. The allocation is Supply Development Fund, Sustainable Energy Transmission and Supply Development Fund. It's dated 4/10/2012. It has $125 million. The next fiscal note affects the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. Allocation is to the Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority. OMB component number is 1234, dated 2/15/2012. FY13 to FY18, zero fiscal note.
One question after that number came up. Is there going to be like regional spread, which was required by the legislature for projects throughout Alaska so that all doesn't go to one region and you can use the AEA language or?
Representative Thomas, the chair, I know that ADA board wants to achieve geographic disbursement of investments, and it's a question they always ask about. You know, and so we give the statistic each board about how each loan and loan participation portfolio affects each region, how it changes the percentage. And with this loan fund, we'll do the same thing. So we'll tell the board we've got X percentage in each area, and that's a board requirement.
Okay. Representative Newman?
Sure. I'm just wondering why on page 10, line 29, why it would say from the North Slope or cooking into market, why wouldn't we just put within Alaska? There's a lot of industry right now looking at some of the Native corporations doing non-conventional gas plays and exploration within the state that could probably take advantage of this. There's the Nenana Gas Basin. We just looked at that, and passed a bill, I think, on that, or looked at a bill, piece of legislation on that that could take advantage of this instead of just cooking it, you know, we this should be within the state of Alaska, not just in this specific area.
Representative Newman, through the chair, if I might, the North Slope or Cook Inlet language is an exclusion. The other areas would actually fall into the bill. That language was added by an amendment.
No.
House neighborhood owners.
You mean host state?
So around the state, the Manana Basin pipeline would be allowed, all the other economic development regions. The only thing excluded from the definition section is the specific pipeline projects, either equivalent to market or North Slope to market.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Just a quick comment. The question was about conference committee closed out with this in the conference committee fiscal notes. All we can do is predict what bills we think are going to pass with fiscal notes that may be attached to them. And we predict that this will pass, so we put that in there. So we do need a fiscal note with this. So,
Mr. Chairman, I was tempted to offer an amendment to zero out the fiscal note, but I decided not to.
You're just being tough today. Your last day in finance, that's why.
Motion to stay in regular session.
Regular session. Maybe. Regular session, true. Madam Vice Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I move from committee the House CS for the sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 25, Labor and Commerce 27-0290/Y, with attached fiscal notes and individual committee recommendations.
Hearing no objection, bill passes from committee. We'll take a brief at ease. Thank you. Hey, we're back in session here, HB 119. We first got the CS, Madam Vice Chair.
President Sadler, you're on this one, too.
Mr. Chairman, I move House CS for Senate Bill Number 119, Finance 27-LSO732-U, dated 4/15/2012.
I'll
object, sir.
Okay. Joe?
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. For the record, my name is Joe Michelle, staff to House Finance. The CS version in front of the committee, version U, is very much similar to the version R that was originally in front of the committee. The big changes are sections 1 from the original bill, 2 from the original bill, 3 from the original bill, and 4 from the original bill. That would take us to halfway through page 3. On page 3, line 16 is where section 4 starts, ends on line 30. Those sections were removed from the bill that had to do with athletic training. What is still in the piece of legislation has to do with some language in regards to athletics, high school athletics and concussions. And the section 7 of the original bill, now section 2, 3, and 4 have to do with people that are in alternative forms of education in school would be able to participate in collegiate sports at the, in the district, in the area that they live.
Representative Fairclough.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Michelle, will there be an amendment then, a title amendment later that removes the athletic trainers on the floor, or should have that been done in the CS, or just could you tell me that process?
Through the chair, Representative Fairclough, the word athletic trainers in the title of this bill has been included because in section 1 on line 7, words "an athletic trainer or other" has been inserted to the bill.
First time we saw it 5 minutes ago.
Questions for President Guerra?
I like Section 2. I appreciate that Representative Stoltz didn't retroactively declare the Juviet Mustangs as football champs for last year. I don't really know what happened to them.
They would have just been eligible for the camp as a big leap to get there.
Any other questions, comments?
Representative Sadler.
Representative Sadler, comments?
No, sir. I think it's a good bill. Yeah, thank you. Representative Dan Sadler, House District 18. Oh, it's a good bill.
Okay. Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The way I understand this, again, with the alternative education program and being able to participate in interscholastic activities, is a dad homeschooled two kids who lives in the Mansfield School District that work with the Galena IDEA program. My kids cannot participate in the interscholastic programs. We pay a lot of taxes to go to the school, yet they couldn't participate in them, which was very frustrating because we talk about how it's for the kids. Yet they were put in their own class. They couldn't even go with their own friends, their neighbors next door to participate, and not just sports but other music programs and things like that. And it just didn't seem fair to me. I hope that what I'm reading here allows that to happen. Is that true?
Through the chair, Representative Newman, I use the word sports, but this includes all activities from chess club to debate to high school basketball or swimming.
That's true.
Yes, through the chair, yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it's a misperception that there's Alaska School Sports Association. It's the Alaska Scholastic Activities Association. Sports and athletics don't actually appear in the acronym, and it includes debate, forensics, and cheerleading, and a variety of academic activities as well.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any public testimony online? Thank you. Anybody in the audience want to speak?
I'll remove my objection.
Okay, objections.
Mr. Co-Chair?
Yes.
Can I, because this is an athletic trainer bill which has minimal involvement in athletic trainers, can I, just for the record, have Representative Myers, or Senator Myers' staff explain that he was okay with that provision being moved out because a consensus couldn't be reached, just for the record. Do you mind doing that, Christine? I know we worked hard on this and couldn't get there, and it wasn't this committee, but it's others.
Can you sing it?
For the record, my name is Christine Mayer-Segan, staff to Senator Kevin Meyer. Mr. Chair, as you stated, you had contacted the sponsor, and the sponsor agrees that we were fine with removing all references to athletic trainers, including their licensure regulation and any description pertaining to athletic trainers.
And Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I just further on the record, this was done with the acquiescence of the athletic trainers. They felt that the form of the bill that was forwarded to us and then would also be supported in rules, the committee after us having it removed was preferable to the inclusion with the, in the form that it was in. I just want this on the record. Is that correct, Ms. Marsigan?
Chairman Stoltz, that is absolutely correct. The office had been consulting with the not only the national organization but the Alaska Association of Athletic Trainers, and the form that was forwarded onto this committee was found to be very cumbersome and over-regulated and would increase the fees for athletic trainers so high that it would make it untenable. So they did request that we remove the language and that they essentially not be regulated or licensed.
Okay, thank you. Any public testimony in the audience? Let's get finished with public testimony. Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Back to the committee. Representative Dugan.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to note that I had a bill that passed that did some part of what we're talking about now, at least the first section. And this seems to be an amendment or a change that matches more closely the world that we live in, particularly Alaska. So I support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments? Fiscal note? Or Representative Fairclough? Comments?
Mr. Chairman, I was wondering if the bill is available for cross-sponsorship since it has changed so much. There might be someone sitting at the table right now that might want to be the first person on the bill. I believe his bill might be.
I'll write you in right now. You got a green slip. You can sign it.
I didn't know if the carrier of the bill has to sign a cross sponsor letter, so I was wondering if that had happened.
You could probably find out for us.
Okay, fiscal note.
Mr. Chairman, I would direct the committee's attention to the first fiscal note. It affects the Department of Administration. It's allocation to the Office of Administrative Hearings, OMB component number 2771. It's dated 12-1-2011. It's a zero fiscal note. The second one for the committee to review is from the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, OMB component number 2360. It affects the allocation line of corporations, businesses, and professional licensing. In FY13, it has $38,800. In FY14 through FY18, $1,800. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. With that, Representative Carroll, any comments? Seeing none, Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's my privilege to make a motion to move House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 119 Finance, version 27, LS0732/U, dated 4/15/12 from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Seeing no objection, bill moves from committee. We'll take a brief release and bring in the, or you can stay there, I guess. We're back in session here. Vice Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I move before the committee the House CS for the CS for Senate Bill Number 136, Finance 27-LS0983, /U, dated 4/14/2012.
Objection. Representative Stoltz.
I'll object.
Okay, thank you. Present the bill.
Thank you for hearing Senate Bill 136. For the record, Kendra Closter, Staff 2, Senator Bill Walkowski. Just a little bit of background. I'll try to be brief and I'll try to go quick. As of June 2011, 1 million veterans were unemployed, and the jobless rate for post 9/11 veterans was at 13.3%. With young male veterans ages 18 to 24, we're experiencing an even higher unemployment rate at 21.9%. And I've actually seen even recent numbers as of March 2012 from a Syracuse University study, which put young male veterans at 30% of unemployment rates. With that in mind, and talking with a number of military and veterans, Senator Wilikowski introduced this bill to help unemployed veterans get jobs when they are returning from the military. This is a $2,000 income tax credit, $3,000 for disabled veterans, and they must work at least 12 months for 1,560 hours or more, which is approximately 30 hours a week. There is also a provision in there for seasonal employment, since Alaska has, you know, so many different jobs for seasonal, so that is a $1,000 tax credit. And they must work at least 600 hours for 5 months. There are a number of support letters that you'll see from veterans organizations, Southeast Alaska Native Veterans, Vets Helping Vets, Vietnam Veterans of America, numerous small business owners I know in the North Pole and Fairbanks area. I've been hearing a lot from that area. So I will stop there and be available for any questions.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, for the record, Dan Sadler, Representative House District 18. I would speak only to the first two sections of this bill. Section 1 authorizes the Division of Motor Vehicles to designate a person as a veteran status on a state-issued driver's license or ID card. Only, however, if that person requests that designation, it would be in the image of a U.S. flag, but also have the another veteran's designation in case those down south don't know what the flag means. The second section would authorize DMV to provide the names and address of a person receiving a veteran's ID designation, to the DMV, Division of Veterans Affairs, but again, only if that person agrees. If he does, he'll have one more chance at receiving important health and other benefits earned through his service. This bill gives Alaskans a way to carry reliable and convenient proof of their veteran status and will help veterans enjoy the many benefits made available to them by a grateful state and nation.
Representative Stoltz.
I just wanted to go back to a previous hearing here. I think Representative Costello was the author of that money-saving flag. They were going to spend 160 hours at $100 an hour or something like that to come up with that. And I think that was one of the – this is revisiting an issue where we where my member saved a bunch of money, and I thought putting an appropriate symbol on there. So that was a good catch back then. I just want to acknowledge it again.
Remove your objection from...
I remove my objection.
So the bill has been adopted. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The only part that I'm uncomfortable is making a distinction between the veterans. I mean, I know a lot of the Vietnam veterans. I have a brother that was in the Gulf War. You know, I know each one of those each one of those areas have some unbelievable numbers. Some of them are lower now because some have reached the senior citizen range and no longer looking for a job, but... Will this not cause some conflicts with those, like, you know, I've been out for, you know, just over that 2 years, and now I may be putting somebody before me? How do you answer that question?
Maybe I can. This was a Veterans Caucus decision. We didn't want to go back to 40 years, and people take advantage of the fact that, yes, Bill Thomas is a veteran, and I can use the tax credit from. We want somebody that's within the last several years, and we just picked a number. 10 years, and that was why. So just trying to shave the cost on this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Public testimony. Anybody in the audience? Anybody online? Nope. We'll close public testimony. Fiscal note.
Mr. Chairman, I would direct the committee's attention to the fiscal note affecting the Department of Revenue. Its allocation to the tax division, OMB component number 2476. The changes in revenue are indeterminate because they don't know how many employers or employees will qualify for the tax credit.
Thank you.
Mr. Kushner?
Yes, sir.
Did we have the fiscal notes for, we had previous fiscal notes for, maybe they're coming around, for the Department of Administration. And then I just got being
right here now.
Okay. It was a premature question.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Actually, there was a fiscal note. It was positive over the first 3 years. And I believe Joe might have had, it might have been distributed to you. If not, the net effect.
I'm fine. I just make sure.
Representative Wilson, you want to move this questions bill or not?
Yes, sir.
Or,
Mr. Chair, I just had a question. How do businesses know about this credit? Is there a way that when they apply for a business license, there can be a notice put in there or something like that? I mean, it would be great when I think of all the businesses in my district that hire veterans. If most people don't know about this, so how will they know about this? Is there a way that we can let the businesses know?
Representative Newman, through the chair. The Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, I know they're very active in making sure that the number of different veterans benefits, they are made aware of it. And I think now with Representative Sadler's provision here as well, that we'll be able to reach out to more veterans so they're more aware of what's going on and to the other communities as well. So we will.
And also the veterans, not the Veterans Caucus, but the statewide organizations watch every bill that comes out of here, so they'll every VFW, American Legion, will be aware of what happens here for the benefit of their members. So.
And Mr. Co-Chair, I think there's already acute awareness among certain segments of this business community, the hospitality industry, other major employers, often entry level for people that have been out of work or been in homeless status, or there's a better problem, as well as a wide array, but those are groups, the hospitality and the food and beverage and hotel lodging, and that's a huge employer, and the fishing industry is acutely aware of this, all large employers. Hope it goes way beyond that, but there is an awareness in the business community, because I've already heard it. That they're aware this is out there and have spoken favorably about it.
Mr. Chairman, there is an additional fiscal note. The reason that I didn't flag it inside of your packet is because 180 is rolled into this bill, is that correct? And so we do have a second fiscal note for consideration. In FY13, there's $32,900. FY14, $17,500. That's the operating side of it. Total change in revenue in FY13, $51,300. In FY14, $102,700. Dated 2/8/2012.
Any other comments? Representative Wilson.
I'd like to move from committee House CS for Senate Bill Number 136, Finance 27-LS0983/U, with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Hearing no objection, the bill moves from committee. We are going to be in recess since we don't have any other bills in case something comes up that gets referred back to finance. Hopefully not, but we will be in recess. Call of the chair. Thank you.